All right, guys, I needed the correct ambiance to start this ramble. I've lit a candle. I have my comfort food, popcorn. I have my comfort drink of a Diet Pepsi. And we're going to start this with giving you a little bit of knowledge, okay? Because I'm taking you on this ride with me. You don't really have a choice. I mean, you could not listen to this and live in peaceful bliss. Or you could listen and, you know, take precautions. So, you know, grab something you like to eat, you know, grab something good, and just prepare yourself, because I'm going to hopefully introduce you, because I hope you haven't had to deal with this. I'm also spraying my hair with coconut scent because that makes me happy. Anyway. So in the fan fiction community, there is a term, dead dove do not eat. It comes from the show Arrested Development, where there's a scene where one of the characters pulls a bag out of the fridge and written on it is dead dove do not eat. He opens the bag and inside is a dead dove. And he just stands there for a moment and he says, I don't know what I expected. Like, because it says on that package, dead dove. He opens it, there's a dead dove. He's out. Oh, well, I knew it when I went into it. That phrase in the fanfiction community basically means, like, if you open this, you know what you're getting into. Like, why are you complaining? You know, like, the tags are all here. You know what you're getting into, right? I had a dead dove do not eat situation arise. I think I've said before, I'm going to brush my hair. Brushing my hair is comforting too. And I just woke up, so my hair is like knotted. Because I didn't sleep with a ponytail because I'm silly. Maybe this is ASMR for you. So, I have said before, I don't like dark romance. I don't enjoy it. I don't like characters who are, like, I can deal with some morally gray characters in a romance book, right? But in dark romance, the characters go from morally gray to, like, black, right? There's no morals involved anymore. It's like they are pure evil, except for whoever they're in love with, right? But I read a book the other day, and it was a stalker romance. And I actually liked the book. I rated it 5 stars, but it was definitely, in my opinion, a dark romance. A, it was legit about stalkers. Like, it wasn't just a quirky little trope. Like, it was about a guy who was stalking a woman. And there's multiple times during the book where she was like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't realize you were stalking me this much. Like, she has levels of degrees of realizing his stalking. So, like, she'll accept a little bit of it and then realize what else he was doing and get freaked out, right? So it had some, like, realism where she was like, the fuck, you're stalking me, you fucking freak, kind of thing. Anyway, I really enjoyed the book. It was dark romance for me. Fucked up. Not okay in real life. But in the book, he was a total golden retriever. He was super duper sweet. He just stalked her. It's fantasy. I accepted it. So I liked the book. And I was like, oh my god. Is this a turn for me? Am I in my dark romance era? Am I going to enjoy dark romance books now? Or at least in this way? You know, like, can I enjoy dark romance if it's this kind of book? So I'm on a subreddit where people review dark romance and recommend, or not dark romance, sorry, romance books and recommend it. So I went on the site and looked up dark romance that's, like, sweet, right? I was looking up what people consider to be, like, light dark romance, like baby's first dark romance, right? I was like, let's see if I can ease into it. Let's see if I can ease forward. I actually might start doing my nails. Hold on. I need even more. Oh, my poor popcorn. I need even more comfort for what I'm going to go into with you. So I look it up and I read these people's recommendations And based on my recommendations, I'm like, okay. I found a couple books that, from the sounds of them, are dark romance. But they're nice. They're sweet. I went with stalker books because I was like, okay, I'm already comfortable, you know, quote unquote, with reading this stalker romance. So maybe I just like stalker romance. Maybe that's something that I enjoy in a fantasy book. You know, the whole obsession thing, right? And like, plus with a stalker romance, like, no one's getting hurt physically, right? Like, there, it's not like abuse. It's manipulation and it's fucked up and it's not okay. But like, there's a level, right? Sorry, I'm trying to plug in my UV light for my nails. Why are you unplugged? Why is my popcorn over? Oh, there we go. Wait. Why is my light not working? Hello? Oh no, is my light broken? I just bought it. Oh, I think my UV light is broken. I literally just got it. That's unfortunate. Anyway, okay. Well, we're not doing my nails then, because apparently my thing's broken. Anyway. So, I look up these books. And the first one, I have to DNF at 1%. Because I just can't, I can't do it, right? Like, I look it up, I start to read it, DNF'd at 1% because he's just being creepy. He kills her father, and then, like, when he kills her father, he's leaving the house, and she comes downstairs and is crying, and he, like, says, like, oh my god, I realized that she was for me, right? But then it says she's 16 when he realizes. And then he comes back for her when she's 18. But still, I was like, no, that's too creepy. Like, him stalking a 16-year-old. That's ridiculously creepy. So I DNF'd that book. Immediately DNF'd that book. And then I went and downloaded the second book that was recommended. And this book I read out of spite. I spite read it because I was like, you know what? I'm going to finish a dark romance. Like, I'm going to finish it. And I could tell at 9% that I hated it, but I was like, no, I have to finish. And from here on, I'm going to start describing the book. So I will give you trigger warnings of graphic violence, and like manipulation and a fucking creep. Okay. Give you the trigger warnings. Dead Dove. Do not eat, right? We know what we're going into here. So with this book, I'm going to tell you the story of this book. The book starts, and we've got a Two-Face situation, right? Got a Batman Two-Face situation where this character, I don't even remember his name now. Alex. His name is Alex. No, that's the good book. That's the book I liked. His name was Alex. What's this guy's name? It doesn't matter. We'll call him, what will we call him? Tyler. Tyler's a douche name. Sorry if your name's Tyler. Okay. Tyler. So Tyler starts the book off and he is telling you that he has this side to him that he needs to kill, right? Which, by the way, I looked up a stalker romance and they gave me a serial killer romance. I didn't really realize that when I started reading, but okay. So Tyler is the state's defense attorney in New York. And everything was normal until one day he was walking around Central Park and he came across a woman who'd had her throat slit. And as he was staring at her, laying there, she was still alive. As he was staring at her laying there, he had this feeling of jealousy for whoever had cut the girl's throat because they got to feel what it was like, and then also hatred because they didn't stick around and, like, see it through. Like, they didn't see it happen and, like, enjoy it. So he walks up to her, and the book puts this in great detail. This is the first thing we're seeing about this man. The book puts it in great detail that he walks up to her. She's looking at him dying with, but like finally has a light of hope in her eyes. Like her eyes are shining with hope because she thinks he's there to save her. He tells her like, hey, what's your name? And she's like through her slit throat. She says her name's Christine. And he's like, okay, Christine, I'm going to make it all better. And then he chokes her and kills her. Okay, that's the start of us knowing Tyler, right? And that alone, right there, you cannot forgive him, right? Because I can read a book with a character who kills people, right? Like a kind of a Robin Hood situation, in the sense that it's like he kills the bad, or more like Batman, I guess, not Robin Hood, where it's like he only kills bad people, right? Like I've read a few books like that where it's like, yeah, he kills, but he only kills bad people. And it's like you can kind of like, okay, whatever. He's a bit more morally gray, right? Because he has standards. So, but this guy immediately starts off with he kills this innocent victim, right? So from there on, I can never forget him. Hate him from the beginning. But then we fast forward, and now he is he's still the district attorney, but he's also a assassin for hire, right? And he trolls the black web, and this assassin for him, and he, you know, takes cases, to get his fix of killing, and he has two, like, rules. He only has two rules, and that's that he won't kill a child, which, hey, congrats, dude. You have one thing. He won't kill a child, and he won't defile a child or woman, like, before killing them, right? So he'll still kill a woman. He won't kill a child. He won't do anything with children, but he'll still kill a woman, but he won't rape her beforehand, because that's his limit, right? Because he says he won't rape her because his mom was the daughter of an Irish mobster, so she would understand his killing if she were still alive, but that she would haunt him from the grave if he ever defiled a woman or hurt a child. That's his limit. Okay. So he's trolling this site, and as he's trolling it, he sees an ad to kill this girl, this 21-year-old girl, and the reason they list, because it's like a whole fucking bio from the, like, person requesting the killing, the reason they list is that she has something that they need that they can only get through her death. Okay? So there's a picture attached, and immediately he falls in love with her from her picture. He thinks she's absolutely gorgeous. He falls in love with her. Okay? Whatever. So he takes the assassin hit, like he takes the listing so that he can research the person who hired it out on her, contracted it out, and kill them instead. So he can protect his girl. Okay? So then our story starts. He starts stalking her. He completely fills her home with video feeds. He doesn't put audio in the bathroom, though, and he's proud of that because she deserves some kind of privacy. Although he does get mad at himself for that once when he sees her talking to herself in the mirror, and he's like, oh my God, like, I can't believe I didn't put audio in the bathroom. Like, I know she deserves privacy, but, like, I should have done that. So, like, so now he's, like, legit, he's stalking her. And this is where the author gets into something that I find happens quite a lot in romance, and it bothers me a lot. I really hate when I see this in books, because it's just frustrating. I am very much for, I'm a huge supporter of plus size representation in books. I think it's something that you should have. You should have representation of all types of people. All types of people should be able to read your book and feel seen in different, read a book, you know, like not every person needs to see himself in every book, but there should be books around for every person, right? Not everyone can relate to being a 5'2", 101-pound ballerina white girl, right? So, you know, there need to be people of color, there need to be disability books, and there should be plus-size representation. I very firmly believe that. However, there is something that happens with plus-size in particular, plus-size books in particular, where it feels like the author... maybe they're plus size, or maybe they're just really trying to apply to their audience, which, you know, a lot of women are plus size to varying degrees. And so maybe they're just really trying to apply to an audience where they, it completely reads like they're pandering to plus size women, where they go over the top. It's not just like you're taking a book where a white girl is in, or not white girl, sorry, where a skinny girl is, and replacing it with a plus-size woman, and then maybe adding in a couple of things that would relate to being plus-size. No, it's not that. It's that now the girl's plus-size, the man is, the man in the story is over the top, obsessed with her size. If any, you know, a gorgeous skinny model type will hit on him and he'll be disgusted, like actually disgusted that she would even think about hitting on him, because obviously he doesn't love her, or like he wouldn't like her, he wants the plus size girl, right? Like it's basically just one of those things where it's, you know, fantasy fulfillment, which is totally fine, but it comes across as very pandery in a lot of situations. And this is one of them. This is one of those books. So she's plus size. She's a virgin. She's very naive, very soft spoken and uncomfortable, and like doesn't like fighting, you know, like just is getting walked on by everyone, right? So she is the quintessential too stupid to live character. Like this girl is naive to a point of danger. Right? Like she's incredibly naive and stupid. She's a virgin. She doesn't believe anyone could ever love her because she's fat. So, you know, no one could ever want her. Her family is like cartoonishly evil. It's like a Dursley situation from Harry Potter, right? Like J.K. Rowling, how did we not realize J.K. Rowling was a fuckface or faster? Because J.K. Rowling writes these evil people as plus size people who are, you know, just cartoonishly evil to Harry, right? And it's the same situation here. Her brother and father, her mom died. So like her brother and father are, they hate her because she's plus size. They say she, you know, lets her family down. Like, why don't you lose weight so you can represent your family better? Like, why are you eating that food, Piggy? That sort of thing. Like, her entire life, they've hated her. Basically dumped her off at her grandma's house, like, her entire life, because they hate her so much because she's fat and doesn't fit into the family. I'm not kidding. This is the kind of shit. This is why it's plus-size pandering. This is plus-size pandering, because they make the villains, like, cartoonishly evil, not real people. Like that stuff doesn't happen in real life. Well, I mean, like it does, of course, but like very rarely or something like that. Is that glass? Sorry, I just found a piece of glass and I don't know where it's from. Okay, it was just stuck to my skin. That's terrifying. Why was there just a piece of glass stuck to my skin? Okay. Anyway. Trauma. So she has this dad and brother who hate her, and whatever. So the book, when we get introduced to her, her and her best friend are walking. Her and her best friend are walking home or walking somewhere. And she exits her building. And I'm sorry, it's just so stupid. She exits her building and walks out, and a guy walks into her. And she's like, oh, because he walked into her, right? So she's a little startled and says, sorry. And he starts screaming at her, like, why did you take up the entire sidewalk, you fat pig? Like, oh my God. So he just cartoonishly evil hatred of plus size people. Completely unrealistic. So he starts freaking out, or screaming at her. Our hero, quote unquote, sees this. So he chases after the guy who does that to her, who screams at her, takes him back to his bunker, cuts out his tongue. And then there's this scene. It's not like they just tell you what they did to him. No, it's a drawn out, elaborate, gory scene where he cuts out the guy's tongue, cauterizes it so he doesn't bleed out, and then he cuts off his fingers one by one, making him feel pain as long as he can because he yelled at his girl and insulted her. So he kills her. He kills him, right? Okay. Drawn out scene. This is like not even 10% into the book. So then, because she had this horrible experience, she's so upset because this guy just yelled at her and, you know, this random man just called her a fat pig. Oops, sorry. I just hit the fuck out of my microphone. Because this random man has called her, you know, all these horrible names. She runs home and is bawling. And then her best friend is like, I know what will fix this. I signed you up for a dating website. Because that'll fix you feeling sad. So then she forgets for a while that her friend had signed her up for the dating website and logs in. And then she's shocked at how many guys are asking for hookups and stuff. Because why would they do that? She's fat. And she's shocked at how many guys are messaging her. But there's one nice guy who's messaging her. His name is Jeff. And Jeff messages her just saying like, oh, wow, I know it sounds cheesy, but you're beautiful. So she messages him back because he's the only nice one who doesn't just, you know, hit on her. And then she and him decide they're going to go out on a date. Well, the stalker, Tyler, he has hacked all her accounts, by the way. And he said he wants to kill, he talks in great detail about how he wants to kill her best friend for, you know, signing her up for this website and all that. And he's, like, considering killing her because, you know, of course. But he doesn't because he knows his girl likes her. She doesn't kill her. Thank God. So, she goes on a date with this guy. And she goes on a date with him. And immediately, even though he was so sweet over the messages they shared, immediately, he's trying to, like, touch her at the dinner table. He's done a complete 180, right? He's calling her a prude because she won't let him touch her legs and, like, you know, run his hand up her legs. And he starts, like, verbally abusing her because she won't let him touch her. So she walks out. And then he's, like, chasing after her, being like, no, like, you know, you prude, like, why don't you want to do this? And it's kind of hinted. Like, he grabs her arm. And it's kind of hinted, like, he might assault her. Well, stalker boy can't have that. He can't have his property touched. So he intervenes. And at this point, he has talked to her a couple times. He's gone to her place of work and, like, introduced himself, right? So they've talked a couple times. But he intervenes, makes the guy go away. Then he finds the guy in his home, cuts his throat, and then says to him while he's dying, like, you don't touch what's mine. Or keep your hands to yourself or something like that as he dies. Kills him. Now, again, I want to say, like, one thing I also want to touch on is they talk about how this guy is the district attorney and how he'll never be caught because he does every kill differently and how he's super careful not to leave any evidence. But then, like, when, because they go into detail on all of these murder scenes, right? And every time they go into detail on the murder scenes, he's not being careful. Like, he's not wearing, like, a hairnet or anything for his luscious hair. He's not, like, wearing gloves or putting plastic down or anything like that. Like, are you really being that cautious? I feel like you could get caught. But whatever. He's taking a shower in there. Like, it's like, he takes one of the guy's clothes because his get bloody. It's just like, okay, yeah, you're so good. Anyway. So he kills this dude. Now, with our girl, whose name I don't even remember because she's just fucking stupid. I don't remember his name either, but her, she's worse. No, her name's Violet, I think. Her name's Violet or something. Anyway. For her, she's gone home, depressed again. Thinking about the lawyer that she knows who just saved her. She's like, oh, he's so hot. Gets a text from her brother. And her brother, cartoonishly evil, remember, is like, what the fuck are you doing on a dating website? Your profile just popped up to a friend of mine. Get off. You're embarrassing us. Okay. Whatever. First time he's texted her in months, right? And she's like, it's none of my your business. Whatever. And blocks him. Our guy, while he was protecting her from the date dude, somehow cloned her phone at the same time. I don't know how it happened. Osmosis cloned her phone. And he sees the text the brother has sent her. And he's like, what a fuckface. And I know the dad, like, I've been, you know, researching the family, trying to figure out who's trying to kill her. And I know her dad is into some bad shit. And the brother hangs out with the dad all the time, so he must be in bad shit too. I'm gonna kidnap him. And he's like, but I won't kill him, because I need to torture him so I can find out who's trying to get, you know, the girl. So he kidnaps the brother, puts him in his bunker, and is torturing him by, like, starving him, threatening him, breaking his kneecaps, that kind of thing. So then the police come to the girl's house, and they're like, hey, have you seen your brother? And she's like, no. And they're like, well, your brother's missing. She's like, I haven't talked to him in forever. And they're like, well, you just texted him not long ago. And she's like, oh, yeah, he texted me. And I texted him back and blocked him. And they're like, well, also, there's a guy that you went on a date with. He was murdered. And she's like, yeah, I saw that in the paper. And they're like, well, these are two people around you now. And she's like, do you really think I could do that? And we're like, we're just checking everything. And she's like, well, you can talk to my attorney. Like, I'm not stupid. And, like, shuts the door at him. And she's shooken up that she could have been asked about this. So she invites her best friend over. And she invites the best friend over. They decide they're going to get drunk to, like, wash away the fact that she was just, you know, suspected of maybe doing something. So they drink 6 bottles of wine. between them. 6 bottles. 3 bottles each. If I drink 1 bottle of wine, I'm gone. And my headache the next day? Ridiculous. Next level headache. These girls drank 3 bottles of wine at 21 years old. Please. Please. Anyway. So Stalker Boy, he can see that she's getting drunk because he has cameras, right? So he's watching her. Well, he also set up a security system at her house. And he's watching her be drunk. Realizes that the security alarm is going off at her house. Which means that the dad, or whoever it is, sorry, spoilers. Which means that someone decided they didn't want to, like, take a chance and had hired a second person to assassinate her. So he flips out because he's like, oh my god, I have to go protect her. Don't worry though, because his best friend is a quote unquote professional stalker. The fuck does that mean? His best friend is a professional stalker to his hired assassin like situation. His best friend's a professional stalker. And oh my god, golly gee, what a coincidence. His best friend has been stalking her best friend. Huh. What a small world. He's been stalking her best friend because she works at his strip club. I don't fucking know. And he's obsessed with her. So they see this alarm go off and they're like, we need to protect our girls. So the professional stalker kidnaps the drunk best friend and our stalker boy. I mean, I guess our hired assassin boy in this situation. I have to differentiate him somehow. He kidnaps the girl. His girl. Our fucking idiot. Brings her back to his house. Because he's like, well, you're not safe at your house anymore. So he brings her back to his house. She wakes up. Recognizes him. She's starting to freak out. But he's just like, he starts explaining. Like, I've been stalking you. I was hired to be your assassin, but I fell in love with you. Blah, blah, blah. They have a short conversation, very short. She trusts him because the dog he adopted from her, oh yeah, that was her job thing. The dog he adopted from her trusts him. So she trusts him. Then he's talking about, like, how much he cares for her and how, like, being around her is so hard because she's so fucking hot. And she's like, why don't you be my first kiss then? And they kiss. Right after she was abducted by him. Like, in the same conversation that they're talking about it, they kiss. Anyway. So that happens. He tells her that he's a killer. But that he'd never kill her. He tells her he has her brother locked up. And he's gonna kill her. And she's like, okay. So he goes down to the brother. And he starts torturing him. So then it's a long, drawn-out scene where he's breaking his kneecaps. He's talking about how maybe he should have a hole in the chair so he can fuck him with, like, random objects. But he's like, ah, it'd be messy. Like, I guess I won't do that. What the fuck? He says he won't cut his tongue because he needs him to talk. The brother keeps being like, just kill me already. Like, I'm not going to tell you anything. But he's like, no, you're going to tell me everything. He starts stabbing him, like, in the abdomen and stuff, places where he won't die, but, like, that'll hurt. And then he starts deboning his fingers one by one. And then finally the guy tells him that, yeah, it is his dad and he knew about it, that's trying to kill his sister because his grandma left his sister her house, and in that house, okay, hold on, here's what happened. His dad, when his dad was 10 years old, his dad found an abandoned bunker on his parents' property. And when he went down there, there was something. We don't really find out what. There was something down there that was like a treasure trove. And it was like millions of dollars worth of stuff. And this is when he was 10 years old, mind you. And his parents, of course, take ownership of it because it's their property and it, their like stuff, therefore. And his parents decide that they're going to give like most of the items away to museums and stuff because they just want to live a simple life. They don't want to be rich. And from 10 years old, the dad now harbors resentment because he wanted to be a millionaire. He wanted to be, you know, this big millionaire. But the family did keep some of the money. And by some, it's apparently this huge amount. And so the family did keep some of the money because they wanted it as a nest egg. In case anything happened, it would be their nest egg. But they never used it because they just wanted a simple life. So when grandma died, she refused to give it to her son because he was such a piece of shit to her his daughter. So she gave it to her daughter, but she didn't tell his daughter about it. Reasons unknown. She wrote about it in a letter that she told her daughter, or his daughter, don't open this unless you're at your absolute lowest. But the daughter, the girl, our girl, hasn't opened it. So he's going to kill her for the money. Even though he's rich, by the way. He's super rich, but he still wants that money. Okay. So anyway. Then he kills, after he gives that information, he kills the brother. He's like, all right, you're done. Burns up his body. Cuts his body up and burns it. All right, cool. So. So. He does that. He tells Violet about everything. He's like, hey, your family wanted to murder you for money. They go to the safe deposit box that the grandmother hid, whatever it is in. Get it. And she's a billionaire. Oh my God. She's a billionaire. Now she's a billionaire. So then they fucked already. It was super cringy. Oh yeah. Another part that was fucking cringy. This entire time when Stalker Boy is talking to himself before he's met Violet, when he's just stalking her, he's calling himself Daddy the entire time. Then he slips up and says it to her in that very short conversation they had when he kidnapped her. He's like, Daddy, he'll take care of you. And then she realizes he's a daddy kink. Don't worry, she's into it too. So then they're just in a daddy kink thing. And he's calling himself Daddy all the time. And they're having submissive sex. Whatever. Okay. Added a whole nother level of cringe to this, but okay. So they do that. They've had sex. They're in love. Like, they're... Now they're officially in love. She doesn't care that he killed... Oh! They had sex for the first time after he killed the brother. Like, right after. That's when they have sex for the first time. By the way. While he's still covered in the brother's blood, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh! And she doesn't tell him, like, he has to stop killing or anything. She's just like, I don't want to know about it. What a charmer. What a good girl. She's like, I don't want to be part of that life. That's not my life. Okay. All right. Cool. So, after they go and she becomes a billionaire, he decides that he's not going to kill the dad right off. No. He's going to launder. He's going to hack into the dad's bank account. And he's going to transfer all of the dad's money to, like, these random different accounts that will eventually link back to them. So, yay, the billionaire gets more money. God, isn't that how billionaires work? Anyway. He transfers all of the dad's money out. And then he also plants evidence that kind of makes it seem like he killed his son. On the dad. So that when the dad tells the FBI that all of his money was stolen, the FBI, like, realizes, like, maybe he killed his son. And he's trying to hide it. So then he lets, like, a week or so go by while the dad is flailing. Because, like, all the dad cares about is money, of course. Duh. So the dad's freaking out. And then he goes and he abducts him or whatever. And he's killing him. Or he's, like, leading up to killing him. And he's like, I'm gonna make it look like a suicide. And then... Andy planted evidence that... he didn't plant evidence, but he put the evidence that the dad was trying to hire an assassin for his daughter. So... Now the FBI thinks that... knows that he was trying to kill his daughter and sees that there was... that his son went missing. So he's like, oh, he probably killed his son too. So the guy's like, yeah, I took all your money and I killed your son. And the FBI knows this, like, all this. So I'm going to make it look like you hung yourself. And he's like, hold him at gunpoint. He's like, you're going to hang yourself right now. And they're going to think you commit suicide because you couldn't face, like, going to jail for killing your son and trying to kill your daughter. And the guy's like, what? And like, oh yeah, and your daughter's a billionaire now. Like, she took the money. And he's like, what? How could you be in love with her? With her? And there's, like, all this disbelief. Because, like, oh my god, the fat girl? Oh my god. So then he kills him. And then, his girl, Violet, feels safe now. She's so happy. Because dad's dead. And then we skip to 5 years later. They have two kids. They're having daddy sex. They don't even talk about killing anymore. But we know he kills. It's fucked up. Dead dove, do not eat. What was I expecting? I was reading a dark romance. And that's what I got. But you know what? Blew out my candle. I don't like dark romance. We found it out. I had a one-off with a golden retriever stalker, and I thought I could like dark romance, but I can't. I'm not made for it. I'm not made for it, and I think that's okay. I think I can just not be made for it. I'll never find a guy brutally murdering 5 people in one book with all of it graphically detailed. That's the other thing. I'm like, okay. Okay, like, I get, like, wanting to have a character that's fucked up. Like, I can kind of see that. You want to explore that morally gray villain. Morally black villain. You want to explore that. Okay. Why do you have to put the scenes on the paper in such graphic detail? I don't understand it at all. It's like you get off on the scenes. Well, that's really gross to me. Fully kink shaming. I don't like it. So, 1 out of 5. 0 out of 5. Horrible book. Traumatizing. The scene where he, like literally the scene where he kills the girl who's thinking she's being rescued made me tear up. Worst thing I could have ever, worst thing you could have ever done to start your career as a serial killer. Irredeemable. There's no redeeming you, ever. You're going to big jail. I'm going to big jail. Fucking creep. Oh my god. You're not, like, a good guy. Like, you're a bad guy. Oh my god. There's no redeeming you. I won. There we go. I hope you've enjoyed popcorn time with me. As I told you about the worst book ever. There you go. So if you hear your friends, your little girls, little girly friends, talking about dark romance, maybe they're reading those kinds of books. I maybe go, do you need a therapist? Because they might. They might. All right, guys. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you don't have to read that book ever. I hope you don't have to read books like it. Goodbye.